You are asking me what has happened to us. I will gladly answer you. I am always in the state of happiness. But they say that happiness can be different. They say there are some external causes of happiness and there are some internal causes of it. But everyone agrees that, in general, happiness is the state of our soul, and it is not some external events, conditions, and so on. These are only the things that determine this inner state to some extent, but happiness is a special state of the inner world of a person. I think that almost all people, at least the overwhelming majority, can say what it is, especially in youth. For example, if they fall in love, especially when it's mutual, that is it. They don't care about anything else. They don't listen to what they are said and they don't understand anything. The person in love doesn't care for weather or circumstances or some life problems. Nothing can stop the person in love. Have you ever been to the Grand Theater? For example, there is an opera Аида, or Руслан and Людмила, perhaps. Or maybe you read the book by Алексей Константинович Толстой, not by Leo Толстой, but by Алексей Толстой, The Prince of Silver. It is a very interesting book. This inner state of a person is wonderfully shown there. You see, you can't express all the inner state of a soul and all the inner world by means of words. Of course, there are some great poets. I remember that very long ago, in the last millennium, I happened to read Fathers and Sons by Turgenev, and there is one episode describing this very state, and I was surprised what a master he was. You need a great talent to manage to describe this state, and he described it there very well. But how does it manifest itself? Once, now I have to recall it, but I can't help it. In one magazine around the world, if I'm not mistaken, there was an interesting article published in the 19th century. A ship came to Vladivostok from St. Petersburg. And the officers got acquainted with the authorities. One officer had a 15-year-old daughter. She and a young officer saw each other. They didn't just take a look at each other, but they saw each other, and in the course of 2 or 3 weeks that they were staying there, they got to love each other so much, and they made a promise to each other to get married when the officer comes back to St. Petersburg. They agreed, and the ship sailed. A few months later, she didn't receive a single note from him, nor did she receive it a year later. 5 years later, she grew older, she was beautiful. Many people proposed to her. Her parents insisted that she would agree. She didn't. 10 years later, she found out that on their way back, the officer drowned. She'd been waiting for 10 years. Do you think she got married afterwards? No. She became a nun. These are not single facts. You can come across them from time to time. But we come across these sort of facts less and less often over time. You can damage your heart and soul to such an extent that they will not feel or understand anything at all. In church terminology, there is one collocation. You can come across it in the prayers. It is so-called petrified insensibility. A soul can lose its ability to experience love, and a heart can become petrified. Why? There is a spiritual law. It turns out that enslavement and indulgence to passions and sins wear out one's soul. It becomes dry and incapable of deep and healthy feelings in question. It is a law. It turns out that it is impossible for a person to love if they are self-centered, selfish, who fulfills all their wishes, so they do not need anyone else, in fact. Any other person is just an object for them, which they can use as long as they enjoy it, and then they can throw it away. The soul is empty. Why am I talking about it for so long? It is for a very important reason. Christianity discovered for the world something unknown by other religions. It discovered that God is not just an almighty master who can do anything he wants. He's not just a fair judge. No, it turns out that God is love. If you wish, who is God? If we try to bring this notion into the sphere of our everyday life, into the sphere of the physical laws, then you can say the following. God is the absolute law of being and existence, including all the dimensions, both physical and spiritual. He is the absolute law of existence. And the most amazing thing is as the following. We say, who is God? And instead, the answer is about the feeling. Feeling is a thing, is what? Maybe God has love. No. God is a spirit. So this is an amazing specifics of the Christian revelation, that it says that God is love. He is the absolute law of existence, and consequently, he is the law of the human existence. Happiness is love. This happiness is inalienable. This happiness can be eternal for a person. It is the union with God. Алексей Ильич,
почему же все-таки Господь, который является Lord and God,
who is absolute love,
и при этом
and
who is
omniscient,
создает,
creates,
опять же, своей любви человека,
a person,
зная при этом, что
being
очень большое количество
well
людей,
aware that the majority of people
помимо того,
will
будут,
not just experience love or happiness,
будут,
they will also
невинно,
sometimes
страдать, воевать,
suffer innocently, they will wage wars, they will suffer
происходит?
Indeed. Why does it happen?
Знаете,
you know, the ancient Greeks had a nice saying, all obtained, all easily obtained can corrupt a person. If a person is given everything at once, as some parents do now, especially the rich parents, I have some acquaintances of the kind. You know, I suffered in poverty, but my girls should have everything. And her girls have everything. There's one husband, one more husband. So, as they said, per aspera ad astra, from thorns to stars, if you were not tempted, you will not get experienced. Just look how many saints have the same meaning. To get something worthwhile, you should work hard for it. You should work independently for it. There is no happiness that just comes from the outside. You should acquire happiness. And how? Christianity says about it. And sufferings are a consequence of us breaking those spiritual laws which we can find in the testaments of gospel. We shouldn't break laws. I mean the natural laws. You can't just, when it's freezing, go out, or you can't just sit down in the fire. There are some norms, and there are also norms of the spiritual life, and you can't break them either, in the same way as you can't break the natural laws. And we keep breaking the spiritual laws. So we are being judgmental, we are saying bad things about people and many other things. And this is the same as to put my arm in the fire. So that's why we suffer. So if you want to be happy, then you should become capable to treat everyone with love, and not just to treat. We're not talking about the culture or not about manners. We're talking about love and feeling of benevolence, and as it turns out, one can reach this feeling only when this person lives up to the norms or commandments in the Christian language. It is clear, if I'm a selfish person, what love can I have? I'm self-centered. It turns out, you shouldn't just love friends, but you should also love enemies. What does it mean to love? It doesn't mean to fall in love with an enemy. So if this is a bad person, they are a bad person or a criminal. And we should realize that. But how can we love them? You shouldn't wish evil for them. You should judge fairly. So don't punish them over much. You shouldn't take revenge. You should at least be fair. And you know that fairness is the lowest level, or it is the beginning from which the state of a person can be called love. That's where it starts. We should act fairly to every person, including enemies. Isn't it interesting? And we do not act fairly, not just according to enemies, but we also treat unfairly our loved ones. If I like this person, I forgive them everything. If I don't like someone, then I will see every minor thing. So you see, we are infected, which we can call the absence of love in our hearts. Алексей Ильич, when we speak of happiness, Jesus Christ in Gospel spoke about the blessed people, and the blessed people are people who are happy, and there are commandments. And Jesus Christ said that happy people are those who suffer, who are spiritually poor, who are persecuted. So It turns out that a person is happy when they suffer, but we, our modern worldview is that a person who has no sufferance is happy. I will set you one example, quite a bright example, an example with Евпатий Коловрат. When he came back to Rязань with his army, what happened to Rязань? It was destroyed. Many dead bodies. It was a disaster. What did he do? He just had a few hundreds of people and he attacked a huge army of Tatars and Mongols, and he knew that he was going to die, and it was his happiness. Do you remember opera Аида? They entered a pyramid, but together, and it was closed forever. Isn't it clear? Death is awaiting them. So there were many heroes who were ready to suffer and suffered, and it was their happiness, because happiness is not just some enjoyment of our skin or comfort. So happiness is about the whole person, with our mind and heart and feelings. So this is happiness. And this outer, this is something that passes by very fast, something that will be taken away from us and disappear. So I think that in such a way we can explain this. What happiness awaited for Евпатий Коловрат? What happiness awaits for many military men? The same, this book that I mentioned about the Silver Knight. What happiness did he have? So happiness means to renounce our self-centeredness and selfishness. Happiness presupposes that we are trying to bring good to someone else or to take part in someone's joy. Leibniz, do you know him? The first president of the German Science Academy, the 18th century. And Leibniz said that happiness, that love is to feel and live the happiness of another person as your own. As your own. And often it happens in a different way. Someone is happy and I'm green because of envy. It is terrible. He's happy and I'm not. Here you see what is the true love. So this love is happiness indeed. What is happiness from the Christian worldview? It is the unity with God. What sort of unity? God is spirit. He is not an object, a chair or a table. He is not some being. God is a spirit. So the union with God is when you acquire the spiritual qualities which make you like God. They say that water, you can't mix water and oil, but you can mix water and oil and oil. And the same is here. When you become like God, you can be united with God. And when you get united with God, you get united with the state of love that we are talking about and that we call happiness. How can we achieve it, and to what extent? I can set you various examples, especially the bright example. There is a saying of one saint of the 7th century, Saint Isaacus Syrian, He said, having been asked what is a merciful heart, he answered, this is the burning of love for all the creatures. It is the burning of love when a person can't bear any suffering of anyone. The burning of love that makes them pray for everyone. Because the heart is full of love and the object doesn't matter. And he ends his monologue of his very interestingly. He says that the perfection of love is the following, that even if such a person had to be burned alive 1,000 times for love for people, this person wouldn't be satisfied with it, because this person is filled with love. Алексей Ильич, you said that happiness is love, and via this love, person gets united with God, and some secular person loves money, and they see their happiness is in money. Someone loves to eat and sees their happiness in food. Do you see this duality? This true love and non-true love, this true happiness and non-true happiness, the fairness of a person and fairness of God. Is there some criterion which a person could use to be heading in the right direction? First of all, we use one word, love, in the Greek language, from which we translated the Holy Scripture. There are a few notions of love: sterna, love of parents and children, phileo, friendly love, and agapao, love to all people, like benevolence. There are many notions, and these are not all notions. And in the Russian language, we have just one word, love. That's why we said there are many kinds of love. It is called love, but it can be a crime even. You know, there is a criterion of true love. For Christians, it is connected with the norms of a person's life, which are defined by the commandments of Jesus Christ. Paul Florensky said about this love, it is masked selfishness or selfishness in disguise, because I love only something or someone who gives me pleasure, but when this person touches me, I hate this person. That's all the happiness. We should realize that hatred is suffering and not happiness. So if we cultivate passions and sins, then we take away from a soul and a possibility to feel this state of happiness and to treat everyone with benevolence and love. I don't think there is any other happiness. They say happiness is richness. Well, it's ridiculous. You are rich today and tomorrow you are poorer. You are healthy today and tomorrow you are fatally ill. Today you are alive and tomorrow you are dead. Is this happiness? It is self-deception. So a person should realize, if they do not have a firm and strong Christian worldview, and a person should realize that their life is not just a moment, but they have eternal life, and they should have life with God. Only then a person can work hard in order to get rid from enslavement of passions and sin, and a person acquires gradually in their soul this what we call happiness, or what Jesus Christ called the kingdom of heaven that is inside your hearts. You see, it is very important to explain to people, because many do not understand what Christianity calls for. It calls for happiness.